and welcome to the Mostly Unstructured podcast, sponsored by Keymark. I am Clay Tootin, the CMO at Keymark.
And I'm Ed McQuiston, the CEO of Keymark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're doing this again.
Yes. Yeah.
We didn't do it so bad last time that they kicked us out of the studio.
I can't believe it.
There's still time. There's still time.
Easily.
Totally time to do that. So today we're going to be talking about MCP. You know me.
Yeah.
Down with MCP.
Down with MCP. You know me.
Yeah. Exactly. And IoT and IDP and the rest of them.
Wow. You've been working on
this. I've been working on this a little bit.
Yeah. That's great. I like it.
Yeah. You're the DJ. That's the problem.
Well, I pretend to be.
I'm sure this will get cut out of
the podcast. God, I hope so.
So we're going to talk about MCP.
Yes.
Which is the Mostly Coherent podcast. Right. Is that what we're, well, no, Mostly Unstructured podcast.
Right.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, MCP is a game changer, right? So just to, I'm going to play the layman in this situation. You can be the smart guy. And this will be
interesting.
You do that well.
So
I'm going to play the role I know how to play, which is kind of low key, boring, dumb.
Sounds good.
So, but MCP is model, context, protocol.
Correct.
Right. Which is about as helpful as HTTP.
Right. It's very
important. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Very important.
But yeah. It doesn't really say a lot about it, but about itself. But really, just kind of at a level set for everybody listening, if you're not familiar with MCP, it's a communication for AI in its simple form. It's basically a glorified API in a way, right? And
similar.
If you go look up definitions on what it is, you'll probably get something around the lines of it's like a USB cord, right?
Yeah.
It's a connector. I was talking to somebody here the other day, and they I like to think of it as a Bluetooth, like Bluetooth.
Yeah.
That's not a bad example either, right? It's a way for AI to talk to all the other systems that it needs to communicate with. Really was brought about just not too long ago by Anthropic, who most people are familiar with Claude, the platform that they created, the LLM. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's able to help AI communicate. You wrote an article. It's on LinkedIn. Is MCP a big deal? I think that's how. That's how it's titled. Let's talk through some of that.
Sure.
What's the big deal about it, really?
Well, first of all, I like your Bluetooth analogy because, you know, at the end of the day, your iPhone, if you're an iPhone user or your Galaxy or what have you, shouldn't have to know that your headphone is a Bose headphone versus an Apple headphone versus a, you know, Sennheiser headphone or anything else. It should just be able to use a common protocol and connect to your headphone, regardless of who made it. And in a way, that's a great way to think about MCP. What's so interesting about it, to your point about the timeline, is it's hard to describe in words how rapidly all the technology is evolving around the AI conversation. And I think that it's become so ubiquitous in certainly technology news, but really in the, you know, public setting, that there's already, I think, a bit of people being tired, you know, of hearing about AI. Yet the speed at which it's evolving is really is difficult to describe. So, you know, as you know, we had a company meeting back in July, and one of the things I talked about was, you know, some of what we talked about on the last podcast, which is this idea of, you know, really harnessing this gold that is the content at rest in, you know, a content, you know, repository. You know, for our customers, that being OnBase, but, you know, it could be a SharePoint repository, could be Box or OpenText or anyone else.
Yeah.
In those is all this sort of gold in terms of data that has previously been unavailable,
right?
When we think about the idea of, well, how, you know, if I could lift that data out, one, how might I do that? Two, how might I connect it to data from my other core systems? And prior to, you know, really the last couple of months. When we spoke in July, I talked about the idea of, you know, various, you know, connective application types that might allow you to do that. And seemed to me at the time that ultimately, because AI is, you know, it lives on data, right? Data is its fuel. It seemed as though, well, the data lakes are going to become sort of the one ring that rules them all. And then that would make sense. Then I'm going to build my agents on, you know, probably within those data lake applications. It would sort of make sense. Those would become sort of the platforms. When I read about MCP, it changed everything about how I thought about connecting data from, you know, multiple sources. What MCP does, you know, at its roots is much like our Bluetooth example. If I want to query my Salesforce, you know, for data, prior to this, I likely would have to know N number of Salesforce APIs to be able to go get sales data versus marketing data versus service data, depending on how I'm using
and
it.
And custom integrate those.
Like custom integrate those. So I have to know the individual APIs. I've got to, you know, create custom, you know, calls. And look, it's a lot easier than it used to be. REST APIs are much easier than it used to be. But that's one application.
Yeah.
What if I also have Workday?
Right.
What if I also have, and on and on and on. So now I'm just, you know, my life becomes building connectors to support, you know, some end goal. What MCP does is it really takes the uniqueness of having to write to this API and this API and this API by creating a standard protocol.
Right.
So all assuming that a vendor has an MCP layer, which vendors are sort of racing to do,
right,
because they want to have a seat at the table in the AI game. Now, all of a sudden, for me to reach my end goal, I don't have to know every API under the sun. I can make these calls to these various, you know, Highland, you know, they created an MCP layer for Ames, for example. So if I want to query into Ames, I don't have to know every API of it to go do that. So that really changed. I mean, to me, it's a seismic event in this AI evolution, because one of the openness, right? Yeah. A very open approach. The second is that now where I was thinking that the data lake becomes the stack, right? It becomes your agent builder. It becomes your analytics. It becomes your automation. It becomes, because that's where everything is. I think that changes a little bit. And I think you start to look at the idea of those can be independent agnostic tools, right, that query your core platforms, and you can build your agents there. You can build automation. You build analytics there, and you can do it much, much more easily because MCP exists.
And MCP is kind of like the hub on the wheel. It's just what the spokes go into all your different. What's interesting is recently I was, as you know, was participating in an AI collaborative.
Yeah.
Yep. And when MCP came up, the panel was just all lit up. It was really interesting just to see the energy behind it, because up to this point, and we say that like up to this point, what, 2 years we've really been into this thing, trying to make these connections. But it is such a game changer, and a lot, and we've seen a lot of the other language models, other developers outside of Anthropic really jumping in on this, which is a sign of how important it is. If you're gonna have you're gonna add an MCP, right? Are those done individually? Because you kind of mentioned that Highland creates that MCP for OnBase or whatever. Would Salesforce create their own? Is there like a universal one? How should people think about that?
Because I think
it'd be a little bit confusing.
The vendors, I think, are creating their own layers.
Yes.
And it's because that vendor understands its back-end APIs.
And so, what they want to allow to, kind of like a REST API, like you're setting what it can and cannot connect with, right?
Yeah, and you know, as you and the, you know, poor employees of Keymark know, I'm, you know, the king of terrible analogies. And, and you know, it would be, you know, if you know, let's think about, I'll use Salesforce as an example, right? So, you know, Salesforce has many different clouds that they used to refer to them as, right? So there's sales cloud, service cloud, and marketing cloud, and they've evolved, you know, how they talk about that. But if you sort of think in your mind, there's, you know, all these destination points, each one's got a door in front of it, and each door had its own key, right? What MCP is doing is saying, you don't need to have all these keys. I'll open the doors for you, right? You just call me and tell me what you want, and I'll go open the appropriate door and get the information. And that's, you know, that's why really the vendor has to create it, because they understand what those keys are. Right. But once they've created it, they've made it, you know, just so much easier for the outside world to consume.
So it's really easy to say, hey, this is all rainbows and unicorns. Yeah. There's some guy in IT going, not over my dead body.
Yeah.
They're going to connect in with this MCP layer and have whatever willy-nilly access you want.
Sure.
That's why we have IT people, right?
Yes, of course.
To think through and leaders who are thinking through security, and especially in, I mean, it's important to everybody, but certain, I think a healthcare, you know, and all of the pieces of the so secure, the information.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody just being able to get in
there. Oh, that's right.
So having this open line to connect to anything kind of fraught with some risk as well. How is that being addressed?
Yeah. I mean, you know, to your point, particularly the larger the organization, the more sprawl you have. We hear the term shadow IT, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've got an application that is in my department that I manage, and I'm like, they come in and show me this new AI capability, and all you got to do is connect to MCP over here. Oh, won't it be all great? Yeah, rainbows.
But if somebody's freaking out.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, without a question. And you know, we at Keymark work in particularly highly regulated industries, right? I mean, most of our customers are in government, their insurance, their finance, their healthcare. And, you know, these are organizations where the security of their data is paramount to, you know, everything they promise their customers or patients or what have you. And so you can't just have this sort of open pipe, you know, so to speak, that says, oh yeah, you know, query whatever you want. So, you know, to your point, there has to be sort of this governance component in IT, you know, as to, and this is a more dramatic term than I intend, but sort of policing, you know, the use of that so that we're not just able to share. Because, you know, in any one of the scenarios I outlined, the verticals, you've got personally identifiable information. You potentially have banking information. You potentially have, you know, patient health information. And the security of that is, you know, I mean, those organizations depend on. And so, you know, there's got to be sort of a rule set in place, access points, you know, those kinds of things. There's got to be, you know, a real diligence, you know, from an IT perspective, that this is not just this open pipe, you know, to go get data.
Right. And I felt like I'd be remiss if we didn't at least talk about that. You know, being ISO certified ourselves,
yeah,
we understand the importance of security. And there's certainly people who would say, man, you're just, like, you use a Bluetooth analogy. Is you just connect up to it? But I don't need it. You know, but it's not.
Yeah, let's probably not. That's probably, in retrospect, maybe scares people. No, I mean, I think, you know, it's like, you know, I grew up, as you know, in the sales world. You grew up in the marketing world. I mean, we're not always the best at highlighting, you know, the risks sort of side of the equation. But, you know, it is and it should be a concern. I mean, it really has to be something that, you know, is well thought through in terms of who has access, what can they access, you know, what are those, you know, rules and restrictions and all those things. I mean, you know, we work in a world in content where, you know, we pride ourselves on the governance of what people are storing.
Yeah.
You know, what we're storing, what we've called, you know, documents or content for years is really just another form of data. And so who can access it now and all those things, you've got to be very.
So is that built into the actual MCP itself? Like, is that, so back to our reference to Salesforce wallet,
right?
If they had their own, they had the MCP there, like, available, right? Are they the ones that are setting that? Like, where
are the customers going to set it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the customer's going to own that.
So it's not super complicated in concept.
Correct.
Like, no. I don't want to beat a dead horse or just keep going talking in circles about the same thing, but what else are we not, I mean, what else do people need to know about it other than, I mean, because in a simple form, we've discussed that, I think.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, there's some of the things that we've talked about before is that I think our opinion, certainly as an organization, is the idea of, I'm just going to go big bang AI, you know, kind of joke about, you know, I got to get me some of that AI.
Yeah.
That is not likely to lead to a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, picking sort of the right starting point with a very specific outcome in mind, you know, that kind of, what does good look like? So if this is the end goal I want, you know, I need to understand, first of all, what data do I need to reach that end goal? What am I going to have to feed into AI to allow me to reach that end goal? The understanding of that data, you know, what data do I need, is then going to really allow me to understand, what do I need to tap into, probably using MCP, to make that happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing that I think is so, I think it's why you saw that panel light up,
mm-hmm.
because all of a sudden, all those sort of locked doors that I referred to in the past, in a way, are open.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a developer, right, that's the goal. And so I think the second thing people need to think about is that this really, you know, I think what it enables, and I don't want to say forces, enables a customer to do is to think strategically about, what do I want my sort of AI platform to be? When I say that, I'm differentiating between where is the data or data sources, but where do I want to build my agents? Where do I want to potentially build analytics? And the answer is not going to be the same for every customer.
Right, yeah.
What I think this does specifically, though, is it creates choice. Because what it does is it enables the customer to not necessarily have to look at their platform vendor and go, I got to decide which one is the one ring that works
right,
them all.
Right.
You know, I'm either making my bet with, you know, my data lake vendor or my yeah. CRM vendor or my, and I think, you know, what this does is say, no, actually you don't have to do that. You can have sort of an independent AI stack that then taps into your cores. And, you know, some vendors, or excuse me, some customers are going to love that. Some customers, you know, really live by a principle of, you know, I'm platform centered, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
And if they make that choice, MCP still allows them that same flexibility.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is super cool about it, is you get away from this, you know, kind of the past proprietary lock-in that, you know, I got to make my choice and live with it. Well, what happens if you get unhappy with the platform? Now you've taken down your platform and your AI.
Right.
Right. Now you've got, you know, I think a lot more flexibility in how you can approach it, which is sort of the magic to it.
So back to our Bluetooth analogy.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid has an iPhone, you're on Android, you can still play your music through one speaker.
That's exactly right.
And you're good to go.
And that's
you upgrade and get smart and go to an iPhone, and I can send everybody who has a...
It's a great way to look at it. I mean, really is, you know, it is this idea of, you now have, you know, kind of end-to-end flexibility, right? You can choose whichever phone platform. You want Google? Great. Yeah. You want, you know, Android? You want iPhone? And then what listening, you know, what earbuds do you like? You know, and you've got all those choices. And I think it's a great way to think about it, because that, you know, is what customers want. They want the flexibility to, you know, make those choices without being locked in.
Yeah, good. Well, I think that covers it.
Yeah, no, I think
go
so.
Any deeper than that, I would invite people, as I did last time, to reach out to us at tmarketing.com if they want to start a conversation. We don't need to sell anything. We just want to have conversations like we're doing here, unstructured conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it would be, I mean, it's hard on us, the speed at which technology is moving.
Yes.
I genuinely empathize with customers who are just, you know, seeing a cavalcade of vendors come in and saying, you know, my AI is the best AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of our collective jobs here is to try to help the customer disseminate, you know, real from not.
Right.
And come up with their strategy, you know, not somebody else's strategy that they're pushing to you, but, and to do that, you know, it's what's my end goals, what, you know, what data do I need to reach that end goal? How do I get that data, you know, and have a planful approach, preferably on something that, you know, is going to be a win for the organization. And once that happens, you know, that whoever spearheaded that's going to become the most popular person, yeah. right? Well, can I do that with this? Can I do that with that? But do it based off that win, not sort of a bet and a hope of, you know, we're, you know, to be able to say we're doing AI.
Yeah.
Because that's not, you know, that's not going to get you very far.
Yeah. And it's moving so fast. Yeah. Everybody's really learning as we go in a way.
I mean, the idea so that somebody's going to walk in and say, well, we've been doing this for.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah. That you have all the answers. I mean, everybody needs to, you know, come to the table understanding that.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. It's a collaborative thing. It's a relational thing.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned last time, pick a problem to solve. Don't start with the largest one. Start with something that is small.
Yep.
And then gain momentum. We see that every day. Meeting, it happened, it came up in a meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody's having success seems to be picking something that's doable. And then learning from that. And then once that light bulb comes on, man, it's like a snowball. It just starts going right. and going and going. So
well, because customers are really being forced to assimilate the idea of this, you know, kind of tech, right? It's just tech.
Yeah.
To the use case.
Yeah.
And that's hard for a lot of people. And, you know, but oftentimes once they see it up and running in their environment, even if it's a different use case than, you know, their department, let's say, to your point, that's the light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And I think finding that awareness is really the key.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us on the Mostly Unstructured podcast. Thanks, Ed. It's always fun to do this.
Pleasure.
If we said something brilliant, assume that we intended to. So we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.